Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Lisa Holland.
Tom and I met at my dad's pet shop in Boca Raton. One day, a customer came in and said, "Hey, I want you to meet someone." And I knew this customer very well, and I said, "Oh, hi." And she said, "Oh, Tom, this is Lisa. Her dad owns the pet shop. And Lisa, this is Tom, my fiancé." And out of the blue, in my head flew, "How can this be? He's mine." Right then, it struck me as odd. I've never had that happen. It just was weird. So I thought, this man looks a little bit like James Taylor. Maybe that's why I'm having this thought. I don't know. But whatever. So life went on. They were customers. They got married. And they got a dog. And actually asked me to come over and evaluate their black lab they had adopted, because I was City of Boca Raton's dog trainer at the time. Tom, I know, wasn't home that day. But they were just regular customers. And I'd see them periodically over the years. And life went on. And that was back in 1990, actually. Now we're going to move forward to, I guess it's 2000. Yeah, the year 2000 is when Tom came back in the pet shop, and he wanted to know about Rhodesian Ridgeback dogs. And I said, "Well, they're great." I said, he goes, "Don't you have some?" And I said, "Actually, I had two, but they have now passed, and I'm between dogs." And he said, "What are all the reasons why I should have a Ridgeback?" And I said, "Oh, they're loyal. They're a great guard dog. They're just an easy dog for Florida." And he wanted to know reasons why you shouldn't have them. And I said, "Well, they can be, you know, overprotective." And I said, "But because they're so gorgeous, they're big, beautiful animals. They're that red wheaten color, and they have that ridge that goes down their back that actually the hair actually grows in the opposite direction. It doesn't stand up, and some people are afraid. They think the dog is always on guard, but it's not. They're very, very great dogs to have." So he ended up adopting this dog, and her name was Simba, and I got to meet her, and she was great. By this time, my customer and Tom had divorced and moved on with their lives, and so now we're going to move forward to the year 2007. This was interesting because I was happily single, and Tom came in one day and just said, "Oh, wow, you're here today." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm here on an off day." He goes, "Yeah, normally I come in and get my dog food, and you're not here, but it's nice to see you." And I noticed that Tom was asking a couple personal questions. You know, he said, "Oh, I haven't seen you in a while, and are you dating anyone?" And I just said, "No, not yet. I'm not ready to start dating and in a relationship, and just learning about who I am at this age in my life." Oh, well, so life goes on. And then I think that was like in November of 2007. So now it's 2008, and it's February, and he comes in, and we're talking, and he's asking me some questions, and he says he's out of a relationship now, it's ending, and he's going to go see basketball with his brother. March Madness is around the corner. I'm like, okay. And I keep thinking in my mind, why does this man keep showing up in my life? What is going on with this person? I don't know. Life just goes on. I don't hear or see him from him until May. It's May 2008, and it's Mother's Day, and I'm have a declaration with my friend. We toast to, "Now I am ready to start dating. I made a declaration. I, Lisa Holland, am now ready to start dating." And the very next day, it's May 12th, and I'm at work at the pet shop, and the phone rings, and I'm walking out the door, and they said, "Lisa, you have a phone call." And I said, "Okay." And I grab the phone, and it's Tom. And I immediately think something's happened to Simba, his Ridgeback. And he said, no, Simba's fine. This is a personal call." And I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "You know I've been in there and I've asked you a couple questions, and you said you weren't ready to start dating. You were learning about yourself." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, have you started dating?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, are you ready to start dating?" And I said, "Actually, I made a declaration yesterday." He was like, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, I made a declaration yesterday that I'm ready to start dating." So he said, "Well, would you like to go out?" And I said, "Yes." So we made a date for that weekend. He called me that evening. And what he had to tell me was really interesting, because he said that he had called the pet shop a week before and that I had answered the phone, and it kind of rattled him a little bit. And so he asked for my sister, because we own the shop together. And then he hung up. And I remember that phone call, and I remember thinking, that was weird. That voice was familiar. I couldn't quite place it. But I did remember that phone call. But I am such a literal person. If that phone call had gone through, I might have said no to going out with him because I hadn't made my declaration. And we had our first date, and it was great. There were some things that were really important to us. Both of us wanted lives that were devoid of technology. We don't own computers or phones. We have simple lives. And so it's a perfect match. We both love dogs. Our dogs got along great. I had a Ridgeback at the time named Hammer and a Louisiana Catahoula leopard dog that I rescued named Katie. And he had Simba, and they got along great. Hammer fell in love immediately with Simba, and they died within 6 months of each other. I thought it was really interesting also, part of the story is that I grew up wanting to work outside and be a park ranger my whole life as a little girl. Always loved being outside. And as it is, I own a pet shop, and Tom is the park ranger.
Lisa Holland with a love story.
It's a love story, and yet I see this as a story about timing. Not only does she tell us the years when things happened, we started off in, I think, 1990, and then we go to 2000, and then 2007, et cetera, which is a very interesting way to break up a story. And she's doing it for a purpose because there was a long time that they knew each other before the timing was right. And yet, from the moment, again, timing, the moment she saw him, she knew this was the man for her, even though he was engaged. And then this whole thing of her saying, I am, wonderful phrase, happily single. And then from one day to the next, on Mother's Day, she decides the timing is right. She's ready to date. And then not only does he call her the next day, but he tells her he had tried to call her a week before, but didn't have the nerve. So in the big picture, she got the guy. She saw the man she wanted, and she ended up happily married to him. But in all those years in between, she might have said, what's going on? Where is this man? She never says that in the story. It's almost like she knew without even saying it, maybe without even consciously thinking it, when the time was right, they would be together.
Right after she made that declaration and decided that, yes, maybe it's time right now, that's when that it all started to happen.
So often in life, because we don't see the big picture, because our lives are like a story we haven't heard the ending of, we don't know whether from one minute to the next everything's going to change. We may be distraught about something, and in hindsight we say, why on earth was I distraught? Everything worked out fine. Now, to her credit, Lisa was not only not distraught, but she characterizes herself as happily single. She was doing fine, but maybe in the back of her mind, there was this guy who kept coming into her life. Why?
There was probably a lot of guys that came into her life, but that particular one, the timing was right.
Well, that's exactly right.
No significance in the dogs dying after they got together.
Actually, there was a beautiful parallelism, which we like to see in stories. You see this a lot in Hollywood musicals. You'll have the main couple, and then you'll have the secondary couple, and the secondary couple is often the comic relief, and the main couple is the true love and the true Sturm und Drang and the true drama and everything else. Well, in this story, we've got the story of Tom and Lisa, but then we also have a secondary story. I'm not going to say it's the comic relief or not important, because to them, certainly it's very, very important. We know these are great, serious dog lovers. But we have the two dogs, and she quite definitely says they fell in love. And hearing that they died so close to one another within 6 months, that could be a coincidence. We never know. But that is certainly an allusion to, a comparison to, if you will, when couples are so tightly aligned that we often find one dies, the other dies of loneliness or of shock or of grief. it's a fairly common situation. So we know, without her having to say it, that that love story was very potent and poignant as well.
Usually you hear high school lovers getting back together after 30, 40, 50 years, but it's unusual to see a business transaction, a couple getting together.
And what makes this story a really special love story, a really special getting together story, is that line, "How could this be? He's mine." And how many of us, I don't know how common this is, to see somebody, a total stranger, who is connected obviously to another person, is obviously off limits, at least for the time being, and you just know. We see this in movies, we see this in books, but how often does it happen in real life?
Thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. We'd like to hear more stories from our South Florida listeners. How can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.